live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams. Yes, indeed, like the dude said, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Saving the world, one soundbite at a time. Well, once a week, we do this thing, this gathering of great minds, I guess. But I got two friends that come on with me. We handle the issues of the day by pinging each other with questions. We run the rounds here. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't. But the rule is we always love each other when it's done. So let me call the roll. First of all, do I have our very own WVNN program director / morning show guy, Dale Jackson? Are you present?
Alabama's most trusted journalist is here, Colonel.
Outstanding. All right, and from the nether regions of our state, do we have Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5? Are you here, Jeff Poor?
I am present.
You are present. You're quite present. You have quite a presence. All right, so I pronounce a quorum. Copper, hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right. The Grand Council begins. All right, I'm going to go ahead and just I'm going to throw the ball to Jeff to go first. Jeff, you're up, man.
Senate race kind of taking center stage now with legislature out of the way. Yes, do any of y'all believe that election integrity is the prevailing topic in this race? If not, then what is driving this race?
I think election integrity certainly matters. I mean, I think it's still in the minds of people. There's a lot of people that are pissed. I was at a meeting the other day, and folks were talking about the fact that they're concerned about the midterms because they don't even trust the polls. I'm not as pragmatic about it. I think it still exists, but I think right now that the overwhelming desire to see something different than a Biden administration and to regain control of the House and Senate is like the overarching issue, in my opinion. Next to that would be the economy and where we stand on the world stage, and certainly election integrity. But I think that just restoring a sense of normalcy and regaining control of the House and Senate is the overarching issue. Dale.
Who's the target audience? Because it seems to me the target audience, if the target audience is Donald Trump, then yes, election integrity is the number one issue until Donald Trump decides to bequeath one of these individuals an endorsement, election integrity will continue to be top of mind. So until then, and yes, the number one issue is election integrity because the number one issue is that Trump endorsement. I didn't make it that way. I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's just the way it is.
Well, all right. Well, there it is. Jeff, your own question. What do you think?
I think you're both wrong here. And I just think it's personality. I think people are voting based on how they feel, the aesthetics. They're judging a book by its cover. It just seems that way to me because nothing really sticks. Now, if you're gaming for the Trump endorsement, but seriously, it just seems like people are just kind of like, I don't know about this guy. I like this guy. He's a war hero. I'm not so sure about this person. And it's just the way it seems to me right now.
That's just like, I'm almost depressed by that answer, Jeff. I don't know what to even say to that. All right, so
well,
listen.
I'm just trying to figure this thing out, right?
Well, okay. But you asked about the issues, and you went away from the issues. You just went straight to people's feelings and how they had, I don't see it. I don't see it that way. Maybe I'm too issues-based. I don't know, but maybe I don't see it that way. Based. All right. Tell you what, I'm going to take the next question because otherwise I know Dale will steal my question. So I'm going to go ahead and take the next question. We're hearing right now that the Alabama Republican Party has commitments, allegedly, according to AL.com, has commitments from both the Britt campaign and the Brooks campaign for their candidates to be in a televised debate. And so far, as far as we know, I checked earlier and I didn't see anything new. So far, Mike Durant's campaign has not responded. So Katie Britt has even almost like lovingly said kudos to Mo Brooks, because he's been at every single one of the forums, but that she says Mike Durant has only made one of the last five forums. So my question to you is, does the guy who has a reputation, a war hero reputation for being willing to face the issues, does he dodge a debate? Dale.
yes, he dodges the debate, and then I question whether or not the debate even takes place if he does. So I think a couple of reasons, and my thought originally was that maybe the debate doesn't happen because the TV station pulls out. But I think that we're not going to see the debate if all three of them aren't on there. I think that's what's going to happen.
Jeff Rowe?
I think Dell's right. I question, you know, even if they do go through with it, will Katie Britt want to be head-to-head against Mo Brooks? I was supposed to moderate a forum today here in Baldwin County, and it got canceled about a week and a half ago just because Durant ducked out, and then Katie Britt didn't want to be head-to-head with Mo Brooks. I think that's the trend.
Yeah, and I was supposed to moderate a forum this month hosted by three counties in the northeastern part of the state. Three counties getting together. We were looking at 350 to 400 people probably being there, and we could not get the campaigns to agree on getting together in one room. I think if Britt and Brooks can maintain their status as being willing to participate and Durant refuses, I think they capitalize on that, and they portray him as someone who is not willing to stand up under pressure. And they'll use it to their advantage as best they can. So I think that it's a situation where the Durant campaign has to walk a fine line. Do we put ourselves in the position of sacrificing the lead by getting up on stage and saying the wrong thing? Or do we ruin our potential for being seen as the guy who can stand up under anything? And I think that's at risk right now. All right, Dale, your question, Bubba.
I was talking to Jeff earlier today, and we were having a conversation about the regrets of this legislative session. And our illustrious governor claims that her biggest regret is that gambling didn't get done. And I got to tell you, I'm a little irked by that, to be honest, because I don't remember KIV saying a single solitary word about gambling at all during this legislative session. So what the hell, guys?
Jeff, you first.
No, I told Dale this. I think there was something going on behind the scenes that we aren't privy to. I mean, that's how Montgomery works a lot of times, and probably let the cat out of the bag and revealed that. But it's no secret. Governor's staff was talking to lawmakers, and they never could get close on any kind of vote or any kind of idea. But maybe she was more invested than I had thought, and that's where that came out.
Well, and we do have comments from her last year. You know, the identical bill was up last year, and she said back then, it's just hard to regulate all this illegal gaming, so we should bring it out in the open and just tax it. And, you know, that was a paraphrase, but that's pretty much what she said. And so she was on the record last year, and like you said, though, she ghosted the issue this year. I am shocked. I think there's two stories here. One is the fact that she said it at all. The other is the fact that somebody got her to say it. And I find myself thinking that I would be pulling my hair out if I were her comm staff right now. But yeah, I agree. I think there was more going on behind the scenes about the governor's quiet support and the hypocrisy of not wanting to get out in front on something she apparently did want because she knew it would hurt her campaign. Dale, your own question.
Well, first, I have a follow-up question when I'm done. But yeah, it's a little ridiculous for her to say it. I mean, it just shows her lack of leadership, in my opinion. I mean, that's if she's doing it behind closed doors, well, you know, we'd like to see this stuff out in the open. I don't want them making deals behind closed doors and then enacting stuff. I'd prefer they actually do it in public and let us hear what's going on.
Especially if it's her biggest regret. If it's her biggest regret, we should have heard her say it, right?
Right. You either are a leader like Ron DeSantis or you're Joe Biden. And she seems like Joe Biden living in a basement somewhere and going, oh, gee, I wish they would have done this. By the way, my follow-up is just a quick one. Is it possible that Phil Williams just unveiled the worst KIV impression of all of talk radio?
What did I do?
You did a voice when you quoted KIV, and I'm just assuming it was an impression. It was not good.
I did not even know. I will play the audio back later. I did not know I did this. My wife is going to chastise me later probably for doing that. All right. Tell you what. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and pause it right there. Copper, go ahead and take us to a break. We'll do this. We'll do the break. We'll come back with round two of the Grand Council with our brethren from FM Talk 106.5, Jeff Poore, and our own WVNN guy, Dale Jackson. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Right back with the Grand Council. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going back now with my brethren Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 down in the nether regions of our state and our own Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN for this thing we do every Thursday called the Grand Council. We make the rounds, ask each other questions, see what kind of conservative viewpoints we have. Sometimes we take issue with the answers, sometimes we don't. But we're on round two for today's Grand Council, and I believe that goes right back to Jeff. Your next question.
How do y'all feel about this Greg Abbott stunt with the buses and the busing the illegal immigrants to D.C.? I get it, at face value, but I'm kind of curious as a political tactic. How do y'all think that's playing out?
I'll jump on it first. I'll be honest with you. Is it a political tactic? Yes, I still love it. I mean, it's so in their face. I don't mind it. I mean, and by the way, it had to happen because there's a willful ignorance of the Biden administration sitting up in D.C. caring nothing for the fact that small towns in Texas on the border area are having to spend local tax dollars to deal with issues that the federal government is causing. And I just think it may be a political stunt that gets repudiated and they get slapped it back and they can't do it much more. But I love the fact that they were offloading with the Capitol in the background yesterday on the news. And I thought, you know, it's just in your face. So I personally, I don't mind it. Dale?
I love it. I think it is just an in-your-face. It makes them talk about the fact that illegals are just coming into the country, and they took 23 of them, and they sent them off to the Capitol, and it spurred off a whole bunch of conversation. And the best part was after they got off the bus, they talked to Fox News, and they're like, we're going to Florida. We're not staying here. We're going to Florida. And Ron DeSantis is like, oh, don't come here. Which, of course,
no.
they're going to come here. So a little double whammy there. As a stunt, I like it. I wish Ron DeSantis would start sending his to Delaware like he said he was going to.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. I like this as a stunt.
So, Jeff, it was your question. What are your thoughts on it?
I don't know. It seems a little dehumanizing. I think not that I'm losing sleep over these guys that are breaking our laws, but I just wonder how it plays just not in the eyes of like you and I and Dale there, but are people okay with these guys being used as a prop? I don't know.
Well, I mean, time will tell. One thing that does sort of, you know, alleviate that concern or assuage those issues is the fact that the only people who can get on the bus are the ones who say, yeah, I'll go. They're not being forced on the bus. They're not being handcuffed and put on there against their will. So, because one thing that was pointed out was even Greg Abbott said, I'm not going to force people to go, but we're going to bus every one of them we can get on that bus. Mm-hmm. So anyway, all right, next question. I'm going back to this KIV biggest regret thing.
No regrets.
And it, do what?
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. But anyway, I'm going back to, yeah, her regrets. I'm going back to her biggest regret being that, I mean, literally, I talked to Brandon Mosley, who's the one who asked her the question. I said, how'd that happen? He goes, man, they just left it open for a second. And I asked him, I said, how did you get the question out? That wasn't even the topic of what you were there for. And he said, well, see, here's the deal. And he pointed out, he said, it was a political event for an endorsement. Therefore, her communication staff couldn't go with her and muzzle the press. He said, so we had this open moment where the campaign staff didn't stop anybody from doing a thing. And I'm standing right next to her. I said, hey, governor. And he just asked the question, what's your biggest regret? And she up and says, the gambling. All right, here's my question for you. Serious question. Does her answer matter? And if you were her campaign or, for that matter, her administration communication staff, what would be going through your mind when those words came out of her mouth? Dale, you first.
Well, I raised a question earlier. I didn't know the backstory there. Wow, that is an amazing story, I'll be honest with you. Someone needs to write that down for 1819news.com. But the simple fact is, it shocked me that she said it. So, yeah, I was a little amazed when it came out of her mouth. And I think that's what if I was her staff, I'd have been like, oh, my God, put her back in the basement.
I go ahead, Jeff, you first. What your thoughts?
I don't know about that. I've been to a lot of Governor Ivey's events over the years, and whether they were official state or campaign, even in 2018, they've always made her available for questions. And I haven't been able to do it as much because I've been locked down with a radio show. But maybe there was kind of a green staff error there, but I don't know that that's the case. I just think she just got caught off guard and let one loose.
Well, and yeah, and let one loose is exactly right. But I think the comm staff at the governor's office is ready to just pitch a fit at the comm staff for the campaign. And I bet both sides were pulling their hair out because that was one of those inside words, should have stayed inside words as far as they're concerned. All right, Dale, we got about a minute and a half. What's your question, bud?
All right, here's my question. There are, I think, two sexy legislative House or Senate races in the entire state of Alabama. One of them is Bill Holtzclaw versus Tom Butler. How do you see that race going? Is it heated there? Do you see any traction being made by Bill Holtzclaw?
I had Holtzclaw on the show yesterday, and of course, you know, he and I have known each other for years, sat next to each other on the floor of the Senate. I will say this, nobody works harder than a Bill Holtzclaw. So that being said, Tom Butler's got his work cut out for him just keeping up with the Holtzclaw campaign. I think so. I think the money's going to be behind Butler because he got the incumbency. But I think a lot of people are seeing the issues that Holtzclaw is raising. So at this point, I sense a bit of momentum, and I'm hopeful that it's going to go all the way. Jeff?
I'll tell you this. I know a little bit about this. The governor has pledged her support behind Butler. Bill Holtzclaw made a lot of enemies when he was in the Senate. A lot of people don't want him back. And I you know, whatever you think of Senator Holtzclaw, I mean, that's up to you guys. But I just know, just hearing around the State House that there seems to be a willingness to help Tom
Butler.
I'm
going to call bunk on that. They might help Butler, but I was there, and Bill Holtzclaw does not have a lot of enemies in the State House. He just doesn't.
And even if he does, put it on a billboard.
Quite well.
That's just what I've been told. I mean, take it for what I don't shoot the messenger.
Okay, but just don't stand in front of my gun then. But I'm just going to tell you that the reality is he didn't have enemies in the State House. I mean, he didn't do the lobbyist dinners all the time, but he was not somebody that people didn't enjoy being
Senator,
around.
I mean, would it be fair to say that he was more of an obstructionist?
Was he more of a what?
An obstructionist.
No. But we were the conservative group in the back that said no to the gas tax and that kind of thing. Copper, are we out of time? You got music playing or what? I think we're about there. All right, folks. Grand Council. Love my men. Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson. Thank you for joining us every Thursday at the Grand Council.